this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Last game of 2021, way to ring in the end of the year with a big win against Burnley. Burnley, the builder, sir, at Old Trafford. Scotty McSauce getting us off to the races. Sancho gets an OG goal, looked like a goal to me. And then Ronaldo with a tap-in, took our foot off the gas. But, hey, we got some good football. You know, all is not lost in Manchester United. Well, there was a lot of gloom and doom after that Newcastle game, so I needed this win. I needed these 3 points. Even some exciting football at the boot. How are we feeling?
No, I mean, huge win from the boys at home. Could they show up? I mean, the Stretford End was rocking to start the game. I mentioned to you, how could you not want to go out there and like fight to the death with that crowd behind you? And that's what Manchester United is all about. We saw a great first half from the boys. Took our foot off the gas a little bit. Again, could be fitness, COVID-related, etc. But after that week, that what we read in the press, just all this stuff, like everybody just calm down. Rangnick's the interim manager. He just got appointed. We had the COVID outbreak. And look, not a bad game. Not gegenpress. Not what I want to see from Manchester United at the end of the day. It was a poor Burnley side. They fight. They could have gotten it early. Ronaldo could hit that goal early as well. So, again, a little cleaner from United. More intensity from the lads. I thought McTominay had a great game in the midfield. I thought Matic provided some stability. So compared to Newcastle, I think everything looks good at the moment.
No, of course. When you compare it against Newcastle, you know, any game with even a modest improvement, you'd be excited about. But today it was good. There were some big positives. Like you said, McTominay, I think, bossed the midfield today. He looked great. I thought both the fullbacks played excellent. Shaw and Wan-Bissaka making a name, still running for their spots. So that was good to see. And then Sancho had his contributions. Greenwood looks dangerous. Looks like he's going to be going for Rashford's spot. And then Ronaldo getting those goals, sir. He needs those goals so he can charge up, keep the battery fully loaded. But just an important 3 points to end the year. Get some stability. Like you said, we are playing our way into form, sir. We got a big game against Wolves on Monday to kind of cap up the holiday fixtures. We haven't had that many games given all the postponements, but if we can get 3 points to kind of give it a wrap, lick our wounds until I think we have the FA Cup, then we have Villa.
I mean, lick our wounds, 10 points from 12 from our new manager. Not I bad. Mean, haven't been pretty on the eyes, right? I think the problem with Manchester United is the spotlight is so huge from a player perspective, from a manager perspective. Just everybody, you can't get an inch with this club. You play one bad match away at the Tyne and, you know, the dressing room that, you know, the Beatles are breaking up, sir. At the end of the day, it's really kind of dark stuff and the highs and lows. Who knows where these sources are coming from? Obviously, there's disgruntled players. You could think of Lingard. Obviously, Donny's probably on the outs. Martial wants a move. So if people want to quote anonymous sources, it's going to be easy to get some dark stuff about the dressing room, and you know, who knows what you can believe. So you really have to look at the reaction on the pitch. I do think that this was a good reaction for the lads. Can they build on it? It's really consistency here. I thought Rangnick and the lads were more pragmatic today. He's not getting them to play gegenpress overnight. He's like, okay, we need points. It's a lower opposition. We put out a better squad. We worked hard. We won the game. I think you're going to have to see him implement his playing style over time, and we have to be patient as fans because these fixtures come in thick and fast. Like we said, we got Wolves. That's going to be a quality game at home again, so I think that's a little bit of a boost to the lads, but we have to be patient with this new manager. Almost have to evaluate at the end of the year. I mean, like, hey, it'd be a bonus if we made top four right now, and we have to be focusing on being patient, give the interim manager time to sort it all out.
No, because what other option we got, right? We're stuck with this lot of players. Hey, they've let down some former managers in the past. Ralph, he's our guy. I am all in on Ralph Rangnick. He should be the man for at least a year and a half, 2 years. Give him whatever. Give him a real sniff at the job. So like you said, end of this season earliest to maybe get like the first kind of impact on the team's playing style. But hey, what you wanted to see was gloom, doom and gloom coming out of the all the presses after the Newcastle game. Today, the team played with ambition. Like, they won those 50-50 balls. They won the aerial duels. It was good to see. There was physicality in it. And I thought I saw kind of a chip on the shoulder of AWB and Shaw both being like, we were the starters a month ago. And, you know, obviously Talisson and DeLow being favored under Rangnick, I think that kind of lit a fire under them. They look good today. McTominay was like just bodying fools, sir. That was good to see.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I just want to go off on the conspiracy theory, you know, X-Files tangent here. Mourinho was probably really hard on the lads, right? Then he gets sacked. Everyone loves it because Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, comes in. You get that big bounce, right? You have a harsh, kind of critical manager who's not nice to the players, right? This type of culture. Then all of a sudden, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, everyone loves it. They start playing lights out. And then that fades a little bit. And then I think Ole was really covering up the cracks. I think Bruno came in. He started playing like lights out, went on that insane run. And so he was just always Mr. Nice Guy in the press. And I think the players sort of took over the locker room, and this bad dynamic was kind of covered up by Ole. So we're almost in another bad locker room situation where you have a guy like Rangnick come in and, you know, where's Paul Pogba? Martial wants out. Cavani's thinking about going to Barca. It seems more players want to leave United than are trying to fight for United. And that dynamic's hard. That is going to take time. So I'm not surprised you see some articles in the press. Ronaldo came here to win now. Now it's kind of all blown up and players want to leave. That has to be a very tough dynamic for an interim manager to deal with. And the fact he has an interim title, who's going to take Rangnick seriously at the end of the day? So a lot of uphill dynamics at Manchester United. And if you really think about how that Jose sacking went, the Ole bump and kind of Ole Mr. Nice Guy in it until it just kind of fell apart. And what we got is we need a serious culture reset. My question is, can Rangnick do it being an interim manager? And I don't know if that even helps us now, because we might be treading water until he gets the permanent deal or we get that new manager in.
I mean, at the end of the day right now, he is going to get the job if he can kind of pull off and turn this season into a successful one. We need a disciplinarian. You know, yes. We don't need a Mourinho. Mourinho is a troll. Like, he used to talented coach. And I think his ego has made him rotten to the core, where he just can't stay at a club for more than 3 years, blows it up, and then gets to get out and take his payday to go. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about kind of the up or the down in terms of his coaching style versus Ole and then versus Ralph. At the end of the day,
what's the culture
Ralph
of United?
He's the gaffer. So, like, even if he's interim to the players, he's the fucking guy. So that shouldn't really matter. And at the end of the day, we need a cultural reset. We need someone to be telling us who.
Yeah, but we're dying for a culture.
Yeah.
But Rangnick can't make it his culture if he's not the manager. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, I think with these players, like, we need someone to come in and be like, and almost you look to the Conte appointment of Tottenham, where he's coming in and saying, hey, you know, you had Mourinho, you had Poch, you had Mourinho, you had Nuno. This is it. Like, it's my way or the highway. And I don't think we have had that my way or the highway moment. And Manchester United needs that. We need someone who's backed 110, the manager, and it's his way. And he's got to implement his playing style, and we got to be moving forward. And obviously, right now, it seems the players are running roost, and the consistency is what is going to be questioned, I think, when you have players that don't know about their future and they're questioning, is the interim guy really the guy? We'll see how it plays out. But again, the board of Manchester United and Eddie Woodward leaving us in a situation that I think is a little untenable, because he should be the manager. That's all. I don't think he can really make it his team, make it his culture, if he's not the manager. So I feel for him trying to manage these egos, sir, because you see the Instagram accounts of these players. They're running wild. So a quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, you like independent fan content, you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can support us via four tiers there. We give away pin stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We could be hawking sponsorships, sir. We've gotten reached out to this week by another prominent sponsor here on every podcast. They're knocking on our door. If we say, no way, Jose, maybe I'd love to hear Alex stumble through those ad reads, but, you know, we're going to spare you. We want to be supported by you, the fans, directly, so please check out our Patreon page. Support us. We really believe in the fan-supported content future, and get these sponsors off the pod. Also, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. great fan-generated blog content again, and we have awesome merch, hoodies, beanies, blankets, scarves, pick them up. Anything you buy supports this podcast. That is what this is all about. For fans, by fans, no private sponsors, no nothing. Just giving that biased fan perspective from the couch, and if you like it, please check out our website, support the pod, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
It's another great way to support the pod is write a 5-star review on iTunes if it has cheeky banter, even better. Great way to get the pod found organically and support us without spending a single dollar. Here's how you do it. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally send you some free American Red Devils swag just for supporting the pod, sir. Woo! Ready to break down this big 3 points. Burnley, the Builders, sir. Rangnick's Red Army at home. Big match. Finish of the year. How we doing?
Sir, we just got to take a quick moment. Look, we just want to thank you guys, the American Red Devils. What an amazing community. Me and Alex started this podcast in 2017. The wives were yelling at us. We were talking about Manchester United way too much, sir, back in the day.
We still suck, sir.
And we decided, we won a European Cup,
That was the high.
The one you don't want. And we said, you know what? Let's start our podcast. We are in your couch in Oakland, California, sir. And we watched that final and we celebrated. We were so happy. We were like, let's start our pod. We love United. And we started it and we found this amazing community. So thanks to all the American Red Devils who listen on the Discord, everything. You guys make this possible. It's a slog trying to get almost 100 pods out a year. We follow every game, and we do it for you guys. And just thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. All the feedback you give us, too, all the banter, all the laughs, everything. It's been an amazing year, another great year for the American Red Devils. Everyone is an American Red Devil, no matter if you're United States or internationally around the world. It's all about having a good time with good vibes, good friends on the couch, and just having a laugh or maybe a dark ale.
Dark ale or two, sir. Why not? It is all about it. We appreciate all the American Devils around the world who listen in, who write reviews, who buy merch, who join our Patreon. We couldn't do it without you, sir. Year of highs and lows. Everything. We started this year. I remember a lot about this team. We started this year in title race. And now where are we at? Burnley, baby. Let's go. You're saying we're in a top four race. Hey. We're right there. Right behind Arsenal. Oh, we got a chance.
We're just absolute Muppets here for this team, sir. Been following for over 15 years. Season tickets we also got season tickets this year. That was a big thing. We're very proud of that. Although, you know, you actually went to the game against the Scouse Bastards. We lost 5-0. Unfortunately, I missed out on that one. But hopefully I'll be going in the spring, COVID pending. But look, we hope everyone had a great holiday. Let's hope Manchester United pull something together this year, makes a run in some competition. We could all use it. If not, sir, we'll get you the Muppetry in the summer, and then on to the next season, we're going to win the title in the Champions League again, like we predicted this year. But first, let's get into Burnley. Manchester United 3, Burnley 1, that's starting 11. Oh my God, he did it. Cavani, Ronaldo up top, sir. I'm going in reverse order. Sancho, Greenwood. Going to put them on the wing. And then Matic, McTominay midfield. Shot left back. Maguire by center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka on the right. And David De Gea. Dave save, sir. In net. What'd you make of this lineup?
I like this lineup. I mean, except that I was like, where's Donny van de Beek? Ooh, that's bad. And that was Danny.
Where's Donny?
The fact that he couldn't get a start with Bruno unavailable with the accumulation of yellow cards. That was a little like, holy shit, that's not good. But I like to see Matic and McTominay paired up. I like Shaw and Wan-Bissaka back in. I like the elder statesman up front and Cavani, Ronaldo, and then the young guns. And that was exciting for me to see. I was all about this when it came out.
I mean, but does he start in this team? I do think this is the best 11, you know, ultimately, because is he a 10? Do you put him like, because right now the 4-2-2-2, the 10 kind of plays on the wing, and Donny's definitely not a winger. That's so right. Then is he better at running the midfield than Matic and McTominay?
Probably
not. It's also the way Rangnick's playing that I think kind of plays Donny out. Now, if he was playing the 4-2-3-1, you know, I think he could be a little more adventurous and get Donny in, but to not have him come in as well, to not have him come off the bench, I mean, Donny.
It's a little suspicious. I made a lot of predictions on this pod, sir, and I think I'm definitely wrong with that one, which is like the new manager will definitely play Donny van de Beek. So far, not so much.
I thought we all. I mean, also, Rangnick hasn't been too adventurous other than when we played Young Boys at home, right? So I TBD, but if I could see Donnie still angling for a move out. Everyone knows about the weather in Manchester, you know, and he just might be over it and just wants to leave. Like we talked about last podcast, just over it, wants to leave. Now, the list of players who want to leave is getting a little long.
Big list.
And apparently, the teams that want him only get to pay half their wages because we're paying them so much money. Regardless, sir, we can talk about how bad the front office is all day. Let's jump in the first half. United come out on the front foot, sir. We came out with energy. Stretford in was singing. It was great to hear. Six-minute Ronaldo. Sitter. He's whinging it all. He, you know, I would say Captain Whingebag over here, missing a sitter early. You know, that's not a good look.
He has been whinging. And you know what? To his credit, we were awful at Newcastle getting him the ball. But we got him the ball early. This is a great chance. Hey, well.
You complain about getting the ball. You complain about getting the ball.
You're going to get more chances.
You better bury it. I'll tell you what. If I'm your teammate and you're whinging, you get the ball like that, you better bury that. All right, so we'd have to wait long. Burnley with another great chance. We were kind of off a rocker. And then eighth minute here.
En vivo.
Eric Bailly, buena pelota para Wan-Bissaka, que hoy reaparece como titular. Atención que la tiene Greenwood en el área, la pide Cristiano, le pega Greenwood, la quedó el rebote otra vez para Greenwood, toca hacia atrás, ahora sí para Cristiano, McTominay, golazo. ¡Gol del United! Aplaude el cumpleañero de mañana, el gol del escocés, su compatriota McTominay. ¿Se lo damos a Cristiano como asistencia o fue un golpe de suerte nada más? Lo cierto es que gana el United.
A mí me parece que el control se le va largo a Cristiano Ronaldo y estaba totalmente perfilado.
Control largo from Cristiano Ronaldo leads McTominay. He didn't have a lot. He had a tight window. Finishes well. And, you know, look what it means to McTominay. I mean, you can't deny the passion that he plays with. You know, sometimes it's consistency. He's young, but what a goal, and look what it means to him.
This is the first time United has scored a goal in the first 29 minutes this season, and we just needed one of these goals. Just smash it into the net. McTominay, almost a vintage McTominay, like, you know, reminiscent of that game when we came out of the gates hot against Leeds. He had two early. This felt like one of those on the edge of the box, but a good goal, an important goal, because we needed a goal like that. Early, set the tone, Old Trafford buzzing.
No, and the thing about McTominay, when he gets forward, he looks good. Some of the best play we see from him is when he gets forward versus sort of him and Fred bungling around at the back. You know, like, I just think hopefully Rangnick trying to push him up the pitch, Matic sitting in front of the center backs, that gets the best out of him. Because, again, you know, this time period with the new manager, we're trying to see where everyone plays best. 20th minute, Shaw bulges the side netting after a surging run forward, sir. Luke Shaw trying to play for that spot. Obviously, Telus is beginning some game time, so Shaw back in it.
I thought he played really well today forward. I thought AWB, a lot of the things he's been criticized for, did well today. A lot of good blocks. He pushed forward. He was surging in the midfield. So that was, I think, both of them, just like the competition breeds better play. That's good to see.
When you score early at Old Trafford, it's easy. So the crowd's behind you. Everyone's fired up. Let's jump in the 27th minute.
Still waiting for the first one tonight. Hey, Shaw. Sancho taking over, able to cover some distance and squeezing it in. Jadon Sancho doubling the lead. His first Premier League goal at Old Trafford. And Manchester United have that little bit of daylight between.
Just kidding. It's not his first Premier League goal at Old Trafford. It is an own goal for Burnley, but close from Sancho. Nice penetrating run. Him and Shaw kind of learning how to play on that left-hand side. I did like that. Light bulbs going off, like Tim Howard said here. You see a flash of it. I really like Shaw and Sancho. I think that's a partnership that could do well.
And credit to Shaw, right? He kind of like made the wrong pass, and he followed up, won the ball back. And then credit to Sancho. He just got in there, you know, a little bit unlucky. Probably wasn't going in, but the kick in, we was lucky for us. And certainly will be good for his confidence. So big goal, getting another goal. Just hit 1-2. That's what you need. It just like kicks Burnley when they're down. Love to
and
see
that's
it.
Where he should be getting the ball.
Yep.
Right. And that's kind of exactly 30th minute. Great chance for Ronaldo after an awesome McTominay run, but he takes too much time on the ball. McTominay played him in really well. Bad touch from Ronnie. This kind of happens when
it was
you
a great run. Great run, great ball. Sir, and he had that like fat. That's like my touch.
Sir, you know, we heavy. This heavy isn't touch. We got a jersey.
He's very good.
Number 7.
He's a pretty good player.
Autographed, sir.
So the wall's looking good. You should give an update. Give an update of the Bunker.
Premier
live.
League champions jersey here. And there's also the 07.
New edition.
Rooney autographed. Alex saw my Ronaldo kit. He said, all right, I got a one up yet, but it's the Champions League, sir. So those are. You have to go back a little while to remember we were winning leagues, and it's okay. The league's wrapped up. Let's try to win the Champions League, sir. Let's try to win the double. It's
remember
been a while.
Ooh.
It's been a while since we were doing things like that, but now we're beating Burnley. So let's get into the 35th minute here.
Here's to pick out Sancho. McTominay again.
I will tell you what, the sea at Old Trafford, there's nothing like it. Yeah, I'll tell you, I know Ronaldo's a maniac, and no fan base has ever given him like such a response to that celly like Old Trafford does. It's unbelievable. It's special when he scores, but credit to McTominay, feeling that shot coming into the box, and he creates a chance. So big game for Scotty McSauce. You like to see that.
You love to see it, and it's almost like the same play as the goal, edge of the box running, curler, hits it well. He had another similar hit in the second half that the goalie tipped over the bar. So Scotty really taking his new role, but he's definitely pushing him farther up with Matic playing back. Good to see. Dude, he had a hell of a game today. One of the best games that Tommy's played because he didn't only just like put some good shots in a box. He controlled that midfield. He was winning 50-50s. He looked solid.
Sir, we got strengths. We got weaknesses.
Here we go.
38th minute.
Pudiera decir, bueno, estaba totalmente solo. Disparó un placer.
Atención que va Lennon. Cuidado con Lennon. Si le pega, puede ser. Lennon que le pega. Gol. Gol.
Look, heavy touch from Bailly. Maguire 1v1.
What are you doing, bro? Gave him so much space. Not good. From the $80 million man, Bailly 2, of course. But McGuire must do better. Has to close down. Lets him shoot. Nothing De Gea can do. This is lucky night.
I haven't seen McGuire do that in an England shirt, you know? I just
closed down.
Look, we don't need to hate Harry McGuire.
I like Harry. I root for Harry. Just like he should have closed
him down. I'll tell you what. Everyone should be rooting for Harry. We paid $80 million for him. So like, you're not going to sell him for nothing. And he's on big wages. So you better hope he's a player for England. Watch England. If you watch England, he's a player.
He is.
Him and Luke Shaw are players. They play very well. England, like, that's the one thing is you have to look there and then look at United and it's night and day. There's a player there. Got to figure out how to get the best of them. I don't think he's a captain. He probably delivers team talks like Harry Kane. Like, they're not great. He doesn't have that, like, he doesn't have that vintage, like, bleed on though. The pitch, like, let's go. He doesn't have that. He's not a captain. Don't know why Ole Mr. Nice Guy gave Harry Mr. Nice Guy the captain's armband. I mean, the most fired up thing I've seen out of him happened in Greece. I haven't seen much out of him for United on the pitch. So,
dude, it's a very difficult responsibility to be the captain of Manchester United.
You got
to
be a killer.
No, you do. And it's not easy. And it's not for everyone. And it's not for him. So I bet he would play better football. Speaking of me, just speaking on my ass. He'd play better football if he wasn't the captain.
He would.
It's the extra responsibility. I think he would just be like, he would just start clattering fools. And instead, I think he's overthinking it because he's like, oh, I'll have to be the captain. Just, I don't know. Give
also
it to De Gea.
Some of the words.
Give it to Ronaldo.
Some of the things he says, you
he's
know.
He's a little soft.
Yeah.
He's not Roy Keane.
All right. Come out second half. We came out with good energy. 63rd minute. McTominay draws the keeper in another good save with a fizzer from outside the box, similar to like the one Ronaldo scored off the rebound. 65th minute. Unfortunately, Bailly goes down. Varane on for Eric Bailly. Look, there's certain players that they're plagued with injuries, and Bailly has made a glass. I mean, he can't get two games in. You have like the Varans of the world that, you know, you'll get solid 10. He's out 10. He's back 15. Yeah. Cavani's kind of that same player. You get 8, out 10, five. Back yeah. 6, out 4. Right. Like, you know, you have the, and they're getting older, which is understandable. But then Bailly's just like one game done.
Yeah.
those play and like the thing about it, director of football gave him a new deal. Phil Jones doesn't play. Time to get rid of these center backs. Time to get new players. You need players. Twan Zabi goes out on loan. Not sure about that one either. We need center backs that can play. It can't be Veron and Maguire. Lindelof has, it's like you need four healthy center backs that can play for an entire season. Look at all the games we have to play and buys down. So let's hope it's not serious, but he's made of glass. 70th minute, Ronaldo and Cavani connect for some lovely football, but Cavani blasts the ball into the keeper's face. Was ruled offside. Cavani, you know, super sub. I don't know if he's a super starter.
I mean, he's looked good at times. Today wasn't his best day. I think if it was, he would have had a goal or probably an assist or two. But should have been a goal here. I think if he had scored, they would have looked at this one and overturned it because he was, I think he was just on the way they're calling it. And it would have been a great goal because it was some nice football from the two of them, but it's not a bad point. He's great off the bench.
80th minute, Delo for Greenwood. 92nd, Fred for Ronaldo. Fred gets his critical 1 minute out there running around. That was it. 3-1. You know, we wrapped it up in the first half and kind of going through the motions a little bit in the second, but you can't really complain. Shots on target for United, 6 to Burnley's 3. Possession, 58% to United versus Burnley's 42%. I don't think we ever really sweated it. The good thing is about Burnley is I thought Burnley would kind of come back in the 65th minute.
Yep.
Make a sweat day saves back against the wall.
There's none
maybe
of that.
Get another. There was none of that. I thought we would need a goal to kill the game
right
at halftime. And I think, you know, that the lads played well to like sort of quiet it down. You know, Burnley wasn't bothered. They never got into it.
Well, everybody knows Ralph's favorite word, control. I felt like we were in control for large portions of this game. I mean, like you said, Burnley wasn't great. They haven't played in 3 weeks. That probably didn't help. But hey, I'll take it because we were desperate for 3 points, desperate for some positivity because, dude, the pressers, you know, if there's a loss, they probably made up half that shit that came out, but it's just not good for morale in general. Winning is always good, so we needed that.
Sir, match reaction.
Sorry, sir.
Manchester United have taken 14 points from the last 6 games. 10 more than they managed in their final 6 under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That is unbelievable. You want to talk about how did Ole make it that long? You know, that was still this year.
Sir, he got fired a month late, like, remember?
6 games, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 4. Unbelievable. And with a goal and assist tonight against Burnley, Cristiano Ronaldo has now registered double figures for goal involvements in each of his last 17 league seasons, scoring 8 goals, assisting 3 more so far this campaign.
That's insane.
And Manchester United have scored 3 goals in the first half of a Premier League game for the first time since February against Southampton, sir. We remember that one. And each of Scotty McSauce's last 7 Premier League goals have been scored at Old Trafford. He likes playing in front of the home crowd, while his first goal... That was his first goal in 28 Premier League appearances. Damn, I didn't think it was that long in between those. Checking in with the table, obviously, we've only played 18, so you have to count that in. Obviously, when the Muppets over at NBC Sports, which is now being canceled and moving to USA, and unfortunately, I think that whole crew of numpties is going with them to USA. Hopefully, they phase them out. The analysis
they're not great. They're not
like
great.
I love how they're talking about how United's in crisis, and they're not like really mentioning that we haven't. We play 2 games less than these teams we're competing with.
They're not great.
I know.
They're not great.
They're not great. They don't like it, Manchester United, for some reason. They really like Man City.
They love City. They love Chelsea. They Scouse love Bastards. The Scousers. They love Arteta. They love Arteta. So it's very clear the producers just like hate United. There's like a couple of them.
It makes sense, though. I mean, because United had it too good for too long.
Too good.
It's just... You know, you shouldn't be biased. It's your job. Checking with the table. Shitty 20 games played, 50 see points. See you later.
Yeah, they're just like right there.
Chelsea with 20 games played, 42 points. Now remember, start of the season, Chelsea's going to win the league. They're the best team ever, and shitty was out of it. Remember that? Post-Christmas, different story. That's
happens
how it always
year.
Goes.
Every year, City runs.
Scouse Bastards, 19 games, 41. Arsenal, 19 games, 35. Don't worry, they're going to choke. You can bet on that. West Ham, 19 games, 31 points. And then Manchester United.
There we are.
Manchester United.
Mighty.
18 games played, 31 points. We win that game in hand, sir. We are at 34. And Arsenal is good to bottle. Well, you can bet
Oh, we're in the house.
We're in it, baby. You can bet the house that
half the season left. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Yeah,
I know we're in it.
We're like in it, a top four. I know in it. In what,
sir?
In the
let's not talk
in
about
the
that.
Mud.
That's a longer conversation.
I know. In it, in shit. That's where.
Yeah, you know what? You know where we are in. We're looking up at Arsenal, and we're in between West Ham, Tottenham. Yeah, exactly. And oh, by the way, Leicester City at ninth. We wanted to hire their manager. That's what this ownership thought was
still
a great idea.
Still might,
exactly,
sir. Still
yeah.
might.
Oh my God! Well, here's the deal. We got Rangnick's press conference. Let's see.
He doesn't look happy.
Let's see what he had. Let's hear from the man himself, sir. We're just numpties.
Well, it was. It's always a question of energy, even more so against tough teams. And this is a tough team. It's difficult to play against Burnley. Very tenacious, very stubborn, and very direct in their way that they play. So it's all about energy. If we have the higher energy level today, in order to do that, we also need to be disciplined tactically. But it's all about energy in the end. And if the energy level of our team is higher in front of 75,000, this should be the case. I think we have a good chance to win the game at the end.
I mean, pretty simple explanation from him. You know, I thought we had more energy. I thought we were winning the second balls. I think that led to McTominay's, I think that banger he created. So we were winning. We bullied them at our house, and then they admitted defeat in the second half. I mean, like, there really was sort of they kind of hung their heads, and that's what Manchester United should be doing. We should be getting on teams early, using that energy, using the crowd. Sir Alex knew how to do it best, and you know, simple explanation from Ralf Rangnick.
Well, they say that you could tell if a game's we won or lost the first 15 minutes based on those 50-50 challenges. The level of energy wasn't there against Newcastle. We needed to see an immediate response. Obviously, playing at home is big, but like you said, you let Wolves, not Wolves, you let, who did we play? Bob the Builder, Bob Burner the Builder, into the game. You let them get an early goal. You let the away fans get into the game. That is a dangerous thing. We've seen that happen way too many times at home. So, speaking of which, sir, we got a big game on Monday, but getting that early goal, I just think we haven't had enough of that. And it's just like, once you get that, it's hard to be beaten once you score early at Old Trafford. It's like, we play much better if we come out of the gates hot.
Sir, it's mentality. It's mentality. That's what it's all about, dude. This team, Roy Keane said it, lepers don't change their spots, sir. It's like, you look at our captain, he's soft as a well-heated cup noodles edible we're selling you. You know, it's like, we got to have a backbone. We got to never say die. And we need more of that at Manchester United. I think our dressing room is lacking it. That's why, you know, I worry about the consistency. You know, if it's not going our way, it seems like we got people pointing fingers and making excuses. And then, you know, you talk about finding leaders for this team. They're going to drive you forward for titles. You have to make a lot of sacrifices. You have to work pretty hard. And even then, it might not go your way. And I don't think we have our ducks in a row. But speaking of, we got a next match, sir. Manchester United versus Wolverhampton Wanderers playing Old Trafford again. That's good. We need these home games. This team needs that crowd behind them right now. I think this is perfect. Monday, January 3rd, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Nice kickoff time.
Monday. Let's go.
Monday. Big games this weekend. We got Chelsea versus the Scouse Bastards, and then Man City versus Arsenal,
the Gunners.
So they're good. Like, obviously, we don't like to root for City, but you know,
he's gonna like
top
smoke
four.
Our town.
Now we're like top four team. Top we don't four. Really, we don't care about winning the title. So
we're in it. We're in it.
We're gonna root for Shitty.
We're really in it.
We're gonna root for Shitty to like just murk him. Unfortunately, that's like, I'll tell you, when you become a shit club, this is the type of stuff you got to root for your rival who's gonna win another title to beat the fourth place team. Like that's the great.
So let's get in this game.
That's the great things that we get to do. It was like just like watch Shitty win another league.
Sir, what are you thankful for? Tell me what you're thankful for.
I don't, sir. Regarding Manchester United,
yes,
I'm thankful for 20 league titles.
Yeah, there
sir.
You go, preach.
I'm thankful for 20 titles, sir. 20 times, 20.
Can
times,
never take
man.
That away, United. Sir. They can never take that away.
20 times, 20, 20. Times. I say, it's just. When you sing that song, when 20 keeps getting farther away in the distance,
know,
you forget
I
that
know.
Feeling.
Someone's going to get to 20.
You forget that feeling, sir. It's been a long time. All right. Lifetime versus Wolverhampton. Let's get back to the topic here. Games 152, drawn 20, lost 36. First time we played them, we smacked them 10-1 in Division 1. Newton Heath versus Wolverhampton
Let's
Wanderers.
Go. We need that. We need one of those.
Why don't you wander out of here? last five, we've had the number 1-4, drawn 1, sir. We used to struggle against them, but lately we've been pipping them.
But they're always tight. Look at those matches. 1-0. 1-2. 2-1.
Sir,
1-0.
What concerns me is the form. Form coming in, they lost this Gauss Bastards by 1. Oh, yeah, we lost by 5. They've lost to Shitty by 1.
With a
then
red card.
They beat Brighton by 1. They should have actually drawn Shitty. And then they drew Chelsea. So, I mean, these are big teams that they're playing in tight margins. It's almost like iron sharpens iron. So they've been playing a lot of tough opposition. So I think they're well-drilled. They're going to be well-organized. I think this is a great test. Playing at home, you know, they're going to punish us if we make mistakes. Today I thought we made the back line. It continues to be our weakness, and Wolves is going to punish us. Jimenez will be scoring those goals. Burnley wasn't.
Yoke City Traore, you know he loves a goal against United. And like you said, I think this would be a good opportunity for United because they're going to come at us, but they always defend compactly when we get the ball. So good opportunity for Ralph to switch it up a bit. Be very interested to see what he goes through in the midfield.
Midfield. This is what. Why didn't we sign Neves?
They're gonna buy 5 in the midfield, sir. So you know, McFred is not like necessarily the smartest go to because they're gonna congest it. It's gonna be really hard to play through.
No, but they work hard.
Oh yeah,
they
always
work hard in the middle of the park, sir, and box to box.
They're right behind us in the league table. They're like 8th, or yeah, they're like 6 points behind us. They're a good team.
A little history on Wolves. They are formed as St. Luke's FC in 1877. The club has played at the Molyneux Stadium since 1889. They are one of the founding members of the Football League in 1888. Champions of England only 3 times compared to our 20, sir. I like that measuring stick. They won in 53, 54, 57, 58, 58, 59. That was the period when they were top. They also were one of the first clubs to install floodlights, and they hosted European friendlies against big teams in the mid-50s when they kind of went on that big title run. They were televised, very popular, and that actually led to the launch of what we know as the European Cup and the Champions League. Amazing bit of history about Wolverhampton Wanderers. You wouldn't think that they would be associated with the founding of the Champions League, but that sort of European friendlies under the lights televised in the 50s when they were like the top dog. Turned out to kind of be the seeds that have sprouted into the Champions League.
It's also interesting, you know, just as from a United perspective, that second title they won was supposed to be Manchester United's third title in a row, famous third title in a row, but obviously Munich happened that year and it wasn't to be. So they actually, like, you know, our unfortunate disaster allowed them to capitalize because we were on course to win that league.
Yep.
And probably the subsequent league as well. So hey, they were in the 50s, they weren't futzing around, sir. They were throwing their weight around. One of the earliest teams to get floodlights, along with who else did we play recently, sir, at the, where was that? I'm just mixing all myself up. But either way, Wolves, they're going to be a tough side. Jimenez is back in. Last year, they weren't great, but this year, they're playing well again.
They have long-standing rivalries with other West Midlands club, the main one being the Black Country Derby contested with West Brom. West Bromwich Albion, sir. Everyone says West Bromwich Albion. I don't know why, but it's like I read it West Bromwich Albion. A little more history here. The Wanderers. Why are they called Wanderers? I this is the one thing that I don't know much about football, so I Googled it. Apparently, the notion of being a club being called Wanderers is based around the idea of them struggling to settle during the club's more formative years. They would almost literally be wandering from venue to venue without like a home stadium. And that's kind of why Wolverhampton Wanderers became their name. And you can see they were founded in 1877, but they didn't have a stadium until 1889. So you can see they were wandering around. That's kind of the thing, literally.
No idea. So there you go.
100 years later, they didn't drop that. So they could be the Wolverhampton Wolves, but they're still wandering. They play the 3-5-2. Jimenez is back, Neves, Moutinho, Den Donker in the middle, Cody, you know, he's kind of like the poor man's Vidic. They got players, sir. They got players. Traore, I think, is out. Might be back for this game. I do not know exactly, but this is good. This could be a game. And then also Marthal on the left. I remember him giving us a lot of trouble. He came in as a sub last time we played them. So this is going to be a tough game, sir. A great test for Rangnick. I don't think you're going to be able to get away with this play like we did against Burnley today. I think they're going to have a little more fight. Even if we score early, I think they're going to fight back. And the middle of the park is going to be key. physioroom.com. Tony Martial, he wants to leave. Paul Pogba, he's winning the battle on Instagram. Bruno Fernandes is back. Lindelof, he had COVID. He posted a nice, hey, I got COVID, but I'm doing okay video. So he's probably out for Wolves as well. Could you imagine just not playing because you want to leave Manchester United? I guess so. That's the way it goes in 2021. Sir, lineup, what do you got?
De Gea, net, who else? AWB, did enough to get back into that starting 11. Maguire, Varane, Shaw. I'm doing McFred, Bruno, Rashford, Ronaldo, Sancho. Who you got, sir?
Sir, our lineups are very similar here. I got Dave Saves, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Varane, Shaw, Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Ronaldo, Greenwood, Sancho. So I just have Greenwood in for Rashford. I think Rashford needs another sit. You're probably right. He'll get a start. Either way, something like that will probably be enough. Booking the bookies, Manchester United, the favorites, minus 190. Wolves, plus 500. The draw, plus 330, sir. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction?
Sir, it was always going to be close. They've been close. They're always close. 1-0, United. And I think it's going to be Mason Greenwood off the bench. I think he's due. Who you got?
1-0?
1-0.
I would say Wolves only beat us by one, but our defense is pretty shaky. So I'd say 2-0 to Wolves.
Holy shit. At home.
Sir, we
crisis.
Struggle against Norwich, struggle against Newcastle, beat a bad Burnley, and then I think Wolves are a well-drilled team. I'm also hoping that, you know, my prediction is absolutely incorrect, but that's just the way it is.
There you go.
United in the news, sir. We're going to get into these juicy headlines from the Mail. Stroppy stars are giving Ralf Rangnick a headache at Manchester United with low morale and concerns over clicks. That's right. Mean girls at Manchester United. You heard it here. Ronaldo's lack of chemistry with teammates and players wanting to leave. This comes from the Mail, sir. So, you know, they're just trolling us here at Manchester United. They look disjointed. There is dressing room unrest. Apparently, players don't like training in the dark. Bit part players such as Eric Bailly and Jesse Lingard are frustrated. And Gary Neville took a lot of aim at Ronaldo and Bruno, calling them whinge bags. Sir, United under assault. I hope that the people at Manchester United. I played 1 year of proper soccer, football, if you would. Then I played 3 years of American football. That's where we became friends. You know the term bulletin board material.
You only played
we had
three?
Bulletin board.
You were only subjected to 3 years.
Freshman year, I played the proper game. I played the beautiful game, and then
you smacked your head against a wall for 3 more.
Exactly.
Years.
Yeah, but so even we had it in high school football bulletin board material. This is what they're saying about you. Like obviously, like North Jersey football.
It was competitive. It was just like
this is what they're saying about. This is what West Essex is saying about you. They don't respect you, West Essex, you know, like that type of stuff. So, like, this should be good for the locker room because I honestly, when this comes out, you know, it pisses you off as a fan, and that's what it's supposed to do. This is just rage bait a little bit. I don't know how true it is, but, like, when I discussed the Mourinho to, you know, Ole to Rangnick, like, I think Ole was just covering up how bad it was. You can't have this many players wanting to leave and have it be ho-hum in the locker room. You have training with all these players, and everyone's kind of on their own. They're probably talking like, are you going? I'm going. Yeah. How are you going to win titles when people are like that?
No, it's crazy.
It's like Sir Alex Ferguson was a nut job sending people to train with you. If anyone thought about leaving the club, he'd have them train with the U23s,
yep.
And then he'd sell them for nothing. And we don't have that, so we have all this like kind of like – the squad hasn't been culled, and so he's got bloat, and nobody's really in it to win it at United. Clearly, Ronaldo is, and I bet you, like, him coming in, you knew there was going to be an element of this. I think, personally, he should be the captain. He should be the one leading the locker room here, and I just don't know if he kind of how he came in, if it ruffled feathers, right?
Well, it's always, you're going to get this for the new manager, and you're going to get this even more so when you have a bunch of players that should have been sold already. Like, Jesse Lingard should not be here. Paul Pogba arguably should not be here. Like you said, maybe we made a very good point. His injury problems have been the same since he started at Manchester United. We probably shouldn't be here. We probably should have a new Eric Bailly. So it's going to happen that all these players that have been looking to leave anyway are going to continue to talk shit, and then just the press, it's the Daily Mail, for Christ's sake, they're going to talk about like how it's unrest and how everybody hates it. But in actuality, it's like, actually, this cull that's been coming a long time, this is some of these players have been hanging around since the Mourinho era, should have gotten rid of. Now they need to be getting rid of. It's going to put a lot of pressure on a very, 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 very incompetent front office. Matt Judge is a poor executive. Poor executive. As bad as Ed Woodward, as bad as Richard Arnold. They have a lot of work to do in January. They have like four or five players to sell, and they'll maybe get rid of one or two loans. Maybe one or two loans. No sales, no money.
I think Phil Jones is the best example.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like the people hanging about. You know, when you go from Sir Alex Ferguson, who if anyone was not all in, they're out, to everyone's not all in and we're not getting rid of nobody and we're actually giving out deals. It really doesn't make sense. And actually, I think that's why football men aren't in charge, because they know these things fester and they create problems and they affect other players. Like every player who's here has to be like in it to win it. And they have to love Manchester United. Otherwise, you get sour apples. It hurts the squad overall. We have so many, so you can list off seven probably that are just like not in it. They're like not even one foot in. Like Jesse's not even thinking about United.
Pogba, Martial,
no, exactly.
Lingard.
And I mean, this talks about Baye and obviously Jones. I mean, like, you know, there's so many of these players. You got to get rid of them. You got to get fresh blood in. You need people who are working hard, trying to win their spot. Right now, you just got a bunch of overpaid players who are sticking around, earning those wages, and don't care. That's a whole other thing. The wage bill, the inflated wages. Players come in, make a ton of money. Like, you know, Paul Pogba, great example. We'll get into it here. But, you know, making a lot of money and not really caring if he plays for Manchester United at all. And so these are real issues that somebody that isn't Ed Woodward is going to have to figure out. And I worry that we're not going to figure it out because we haven't done the cull. I don't think the cull is coming. I think we have an interim manager and they're going to kick the can, because the problem is getting rid of Eric Bailly means you have to spend $30 million on another center back, and you need to do that to win something. And I just don't see the urgency. It seems more of the reason we haven't culled anyone is we save more money by not culling people and giving them re-ups on their deals despite their injury record, despite them not being good enough for Manchester United. This is about the Glazers prioritizing profit and dividends over title, sir. We're talking top four again. How many years are we going to talk about top four?
Until the
this
Glazers
is Manchester,
leave.
I don't need to say it. It kills me that they don't have any sense of urgency to get this squad sorted, get players out, get new ones in, because you have to know that dynamic is so critical to locker room at Manchester United.
They don't, and that's why we continue to suffer, because footballing men are not making footballing decisions where they should be. Like, Ed Woodward is not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere. He's still basically a huge decision maker at the club, and he's always been an idiot. He's been a terrible decision maker since, like, as soon as he was in charge, as soon as Fergie took the knee, called it a day, and said, I'm good, he was in charge, and he has bottled it ever since. He's bottling it for fucking 13 years. So all I'm saying is we need to just put the rein on someone who knows what they're doing. And at the end of the day, I think, like, Rain's going to come in. He's going to have a point of view. He's going to have perspective. And the board is going to fucking blow it.
That's what I'm saying.
They are almost certainly going to blow it. They're going to blow it because he's going to be like, hey, we got to get rid of X, Y, and Z player. I need these two over there to be signed. And what's going to happen is, like, this January transfer window, like, nothing's going to get done. The summer is going to be like another Ed Woodward special.
To be fair, January is not the time.
No, it's not. But I'm not saying it should be. But, like, dude, the summer, how much business wasn't done in terms of sales? That's more important now, because like you said, it's not good to have players around who are talking to their agents, leaking bad shit. Like, you just need to get rid of these players. Like, having a Lingard and a Pogba and a Jones and a Romero, etc. Like, you just need to get rid of them, and maybe it's cheaper in the long run, but really it's not, because you're screwing yourself, because by paying Phil Jones over and over again, you'll never be able to sell him ever. You're just going to run down that contract. It's like, it would have been better to just get rid of him 5 years ago, because you knew he's always injured. 5 years ago, he was the same case.
No, and the reason Manchester United, if you look from a director of football perspective, it's absolute meltdown. Because the number one thing you need is you need a manager who's backed. And we have another interim manager. It makes no sense, because, like, you have to be able to learn from your mistakes. And Ed Woodward should have learned that promoting interim manager and then giving him a new deal too early, that was a mistake. And he didn't learn from that. So he made another interim. And it's always like, yeah, we're gonna find the next great manager. It's like, what are you talking about? We had Moyes, Van Gaal, then Mourinho. We've had Ole. Now Rangnick deserves a shot. He deserves 100% the right to be the next manager. And if he's not the man, next man up, because I think we're just eyeing for Poch. And when you're playing for the next guy, you hurt this guy. That's the point, is that we need somebody to take the reins here, because the board doesn't get it. The front office doesn't get it. And now we have like handcuffed one arm behind Rangnick's back to try to sort this out. I think it's a tall order. And sir, we're going to be talking about this bullshit until the Glazers are gone. I mean, this is the way it is, because you can't be running the number one football club, in my opinion, in the world like this. And it's just absolutely top to bottom. Like, no one, they're not learning from the mistakes. They're just trying to like put on a front. Bringing Cristiano Ronaldo in to win now, you know, that's a move, and it didn't work.
Sir,
and then now it's going to create more problems. So the idea of it is just, it's really tough. Like, they make very rash. Like, Cavani is a rash decision. We never replaced.
Pogba was rash.
Sir, we never replaced the number nine. We never got a number nine. We never replaced Lukaku. You know,
nope. So we're gonna continue to suffer, bro. We talked about it because, you know what you said, like, they're gonna run down the clock to get Pochettino, who hasn't won a goddamn thing, like, can't even win.
Who might not be available?
But even if he
might win the Champions League,
even if he is, he's not the right guy. The right guy is the manager right now. Make him manager.
That's what I'm
just
saying.
Give him a go. But dude, he's done it at other clubs. We need a full rebuild. We are.
But we're not getting it. We're kicking the can. They kicked the can.
It's kicked the can FC. Day late, dollar short FC. We still have the same idiots in charge. They put no football and people in the top. Murtaugh is a yes man. And now they brought in a football guy, and they're probably going to box him in. So that's the problem.
No, honestly, I look at the touchline. I'm perplexed. I'm like, okay, Ralph Rangnick, he's okay, but why is he interim manager? And then who are the guys working with him? And then you got Darren Fletcher shouting, and you're like, this is Manchester United? This is what a multi-billion-dollar organization has to offer in this position.
It's not Darren Fletcher. It's like Richard Arnold.
Sir,
it's
they
Matt
should have
Judge.
World-class front office, world-class management.
Who's Matt Judge?
With world-class
who's
staff.
Who's the CEO? Who's the CEO?
And they got like...
Who's the CEO? Richard Arnold? Who's Richard Arnold, sir?
No, but that's what I'm saying, is they should have a world-class front office, and they should have world-class management and coaches, and it seems so patchwork for a team this big, and you're going to see these results if it's like this. So, you know... Obviously rooting for the team right now. Who knows what's going to happen with it? But when you get stories like this after you bring in a new manager, sir, not a good look. And this is Manchester United. And we talked to, passionately about Martial. He probably wants out because this is Manchester United, like you said.
I mean, that's why we got testy last time. But it's true, man. It's like, I don't think Bruno's signing a new contract. I know we have him until 2025. But I think, like, it's wishful thinking to think he's going to re-up and be like Manchester United for life. Like, he wants to win shit. He is ambitious, as he should be, because he's a player. He's a top player. And right now, he's not in the best form. But all I'm trying to say is, like, players are fucking smart. You know, they watch the news constantly. If you ever watch any of these inside, like, behind the scenes, Juventus, behind this, they're watching Sky Sports or Sky Sports equivalent all the time. They know United is a poorly run club. They know Liverpool and Scousers and City are well-run clubs. Like, this is not new news to anybody. So it's like this festering, this not making a commitment, like you said, dragging your feet in transfer windows, not doing the cold, not getting players on bloated wages who are past their prime out, right? This manager we brought in is like, I want to sign players on their first or second contract, not their third, fourth, fifth, like we've been doing. Dude, that is a direct opposite to how this club likes to operate. So, like, that's really where things are likely to blow up. And if they're running on time to Maurizio Pochettino, if he's available, like you said, I hope he's not available so they don't get pulled into that. Just go with the next guy you brought in. He's a club builder. We need a club builder. Stick with it.
No, totally. And also, it's communication. They got to tell the fans what the plan is. There has to be a plan, right? You got Edward. He's making a lot of money. Is the plan just to, like, whatever, throw spaghetti at the wall and just hope that the fans don't protest and then just try to take as much money out as possible? Like, I guess so, sir. I mean, like, we need a plan on how we're going to win titles. And if that plan doesn't work, then we make adjustments. But it has to be done in some rational way. And right now, this is just Ed Woodward. Numpty land we're living in. Next one, Julian Alvarez. This is a player at River Plate in Argentina who's playing pretty well. He's got 18 goals, 9 assists. Apparently a 20 million release clause. He's a number 9. You can sign him up. You can't get rid of Martial or Cavani and not bring in somebody. We need the goals. I mean, I saw some highlights of him. It's Argentina. Sir,
how's the feed? How's the feed on those highlight videos? You know, it's like, I've been to a River Plate game, sir. It was a hell of an atmosphere. It's like they don't fuck. They have like the cage around the field, so they don't throw stuff onto the field. Hey, I like the sound of this kind of signing, right? Like a player you've never heard of. Good money. You know, we're not getting Holland. Ha ha ha.
But this is from Argentina in Argentinian news.
But there has been news. There has been a lot of smoke.
Again,
could be nothing.
January signings. Getting coal. We're getting coal from Ed Woodward, and he ain't left yet. So
he ain't leaving, he's supposed to leave
end of the year. End of the year. I'm checking my watch. It's December 30th, Woody. Need that announcement. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. This next article, just having a little fun. Lukaku's not happy at Chelsea. I thought we'd have a laugh here.
He just got there. He literally forced a move. It's hilarious.
He didn't say anything controversial, really.
He didn't, really.
But he said, basically, you know, physically I'm fine. And he kind of talked about the manager playing a different system. And, you know, this is how it is. And I have to fight for my spot. But, you know, too much talking from Lukaku. And as a United fan, you have to say, you know what? I'm kind of glad Chelsea signed him because now they're seeing it. You know, nothing says like I'm a great teammate than just talking airing the dirty laundry out in the press and making it about you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to talk about other players or former players or talk down on, but like, hey, sir, he's not at our club anymore. We never replaced him, but whoever comes in, I hope
he's
they're excited.
He's kind of clapped the. At United, so there were bit. There was kind of looks there, down at Manchester United.
I think a lot of players do. A lot of players do. A lot of former coaches
like
do.
Di Maria does.
I'll tell you what, sir. The guy we're about to talk about next, he's going to talk so much shit about Manchester United after he leaves, just like he did before. This is a player that you never would have signed if you had footballing men in charge of the club when they made the decision to sign Paul Pogba, bro. Because the player decided.
Sir, hold on. Before you just get all mad, let's know, just say that we got a new. We already sold Lukaku. We got a new. We got look, but you know, I thought
look
it was
the
like
Instagram. The Instagram. Let's talk about the gram.
No, but first of all. Judge sold Lukaku at a loss and then didn't
still
even get
money
and didn't even get upfront cash payment. That's how bad we are at business. And then he goes to Chelsea 2 years later for like what, like a 100 or something insane like that. So like Inter's getting paid. Chelsea's got him. We don't get paid. Like the business is horrific. But we got a new segment called Explain That Graham. We got Paul Pogba sitting in a luxury vehicle. He's got some, you know, he's got a sidebar there with some waters. He's wearing what appears to be a silver Adidas jumpsuit. Sorry,
Do you know where this photo is from? Do you know what this photo is? The date? Do you actually know where this photo is from?
No, I do not know.
This photo is the photo of him when he's going to step out at Carrington after re-signing at Manchester United in whenever it was, 16.
Really?
Yeah, dude. That's why. And he reposted. Explain that, Graham. It's like, I'm leaving. I'm about to sign a new contract somewhere else. So, that's the solution.
So his quote here, his quote is, don't look at the problem. Look at the solution.
That's so good.
So, look, I mean, I like the outfit. United should have some outfits like this they wear. I mean,
I need an outfit like that.
I know. I'm going to say, first of all, Paul P., shout out.
Strong.
Like the earrings as well. The caption is just like, what are you talking about? Like the one thing about Paul Pogba, I will say, he's got a lot to say on the Instagram, not a lot to say on the pitch at Manchester United. We've seen him take these long injury spells where like, where is he? What is he doing? He looks like he's playing basketball. He's watching an NBA game. And he's in Dubai. And just like there's no update on when he's coming back. And so obviously you have to take this one as if you're reading the tea leaves, he's gone. Like January 1st, signs a new deal. And, you know, Manchester United are paying him big money. You know, I just wish Paul Pogba liked to just prove it on the pitch a little more. And even if he's leaving, he should be trying to, you know, doing this on the gram, be a little more professional, sign the deal, say I like, you know.
Sir, shame on us. Shame on us, mate. Fergie knew. The kid was 18. He like they knew he had an attitude problem then. Same agent problem then. We brought him back for huge.
Fergie blamed the agent, by the way. He didn't.
He did blame the agent,
he
never
but he
insinuated
Paul Pogba.
Yes, he did, but he insinuated elsewhere that like Paul Pogba, it wasn't isolated with Paul Pogba or his agent. It was like a combo deal. So all I'm getting at is like that decision to bring him back was a fucking huge mistake. one of the worst signings we've made in the last 10 years. But what are you going to do about it? You should learn from those
mistakes. He got Mourinho fired.
Yeah, and he, you know, like, and he's leaving on a free, laughing all the way. His agent talks about us nonstop.
Yeah, but this is why it goes back to basics, where no player is bigger than the
club.
Yeah,
they never should have brought him back in the first place, sir.
But this is goes back to Ed Woodward.
Of course it does.
You'd go back to the Harvard case study that will be the failure of Ed Woodward's career, is when you sign Paul Pogba for big money and he's got all this influence, etc., and when they fired Mourinho, they decided that there was a player bigger than the club. Paul Pogba was bigger than Manchester United, and that was the moment when, and that's why Paul Pogba did everything he wanted under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and Ole never said one bad thing about Paul Pogba. And how did Paul Pogba repay Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Sir, at the end of the day, Sir Alex Ferguson knew there has to be only one man who's in charge. It's his way or the highway. That is the manager of Manchester United. And you can't be that way if you're the interim, and you can't be that way if you're saying nice things about Paul Pogba when his agent is saying in the press that Manchester United sucks and he wants to leave, and the player won't tell his agent to shut up or fire his agent. At the end of the day, it's been a huge problem. It's been enabled by Ed Woodward from the top, and he's going to leave on a free and give us the bird on the way out.
Dude, one of the worst signings this club's ever made. Like, not even close. 90 million, that window. A club that is much better run than we are bought a player that's 10x the player for a third of the cost. They bought N'Golo Kanté from Leicester, Premier League winner, fucking best CDM in the world, best CDM in the last 10 years for a third of the price. We still need a CDM. We bought Matic. So, like, I guarantee you, bro, that Mourinho didn't come in and was like, I want Paul Pogba. That was like an Ed Woodward signing because he saw Adidas, he saw tweets, he got that, and we got, what'd we get? Sir, that's why you need footballing men in charge of the club. I wish Paul Pogba well, because I wish everybody well, sir. But hey, that is a failure, and we need to learn from that mistake.
I don't necessarily wish Di Maria well, though.
No, but no, not really. But
yeah, like, you don't wish Di Maria
I'm not well. Really wishing Paul Pogba well either, because he's going to join Real Madrid or our Champions League rival.
No, here's the deal. Who wants him? Who's going to pay? The funniest...
No one's paying more than us.
I know, but this tells you about Manchester United and how they do business. No one's going to pay Paul Pogba more money than us. And that's the
and he'll still leave.
Jump into fan questions, sir. We could go on. We've been talking about Paul Pogba for a long time,
so done.
And
I'm so done.
Yeah, but this whole Woodward era is defined by these failures.
Yes,
failure to sell, buying bad, overpaying, blowing up the wage bill, bad attitudes, players becoming. Bigger than the manager. This whole trend, this whole downfall of the last 9 years of Manchester United is Eddie and his whole thing, obviously enabled by the Glazers, but, you know, he's the man at the helm making the calls, and this is where we're at. Jumping to fan questions, at ADRN87, quote, even in a game that Bruno can't play, VDB still can't get any burn. Second manager to be reluctant to choose him. Gotta wonder what's going on in the training ground. As keeping now another manager from giving him any time on the pitch. Great win, though. Sir, Donny Van de Beek, you think he's bad on the training ground, or you think he just wants to leave?
I mean, we talked about it at the top of the hour. He's got less of a reason. He has more of a reason to do what you wanted Martial to do, which is fight for a spot, because he's been in the club for a shorter period of time. So it could be... You did make a good point when I brought it up and we talked about the 11. Was like, hey, based on the way he wanted to play today, does it make more sense to start him over Matic or McTominay, who both played very well? Probably not. Or Sancho and Greenwood, who both played very well? Probably not. So, like, I actually kind of get that. But if he isn't starting to play in the next couple games, yeah, he gone. And maybe, like you said, maybe he already made his mind up. But I feel like he's maybe more amenable to be like, hey, this guy's a real deal manager. Let me give him a shot. I've only been here for a year and a half. But who the hell knows? He could be just a... another Zaha.
Totally. At JDW300, quote, need a true CDM to take over for Matic. That partnership was key today to let McSauce go forward and be the man of the match. Maybe Scott's best match ever with Scholes quality shots. Maguire needs to be benched, period. Put Mengi in next to Varane until Lindelof as well. As far as the CDM, Neves was the cheap buy this summer. United, like, you know, didn't budge. We're good. Then Ole didn't play Modric. Then he just died on the vine with Fred and McTominay. I mean, clearly Modric needed to be replaced. Again, United doing an extension and just kicking the can. Neves would have been a great, like, in-league, cheap, proven, EPL-proven buy. United didn't do that either. So now Rangnick is kind of... Modric is clearly the guy, but he can't play that many minutes because he's older. So that's where the director of football comes in, where they say, hey, how many games can Modric play? And it's this, and then how many? So it goes to sort of rotation and everything that, you know, someone like a director of football probably would consider in the depth chart. As far as Maguire needing to be benched, sir, what do you make of that?
He probably needs to be benched. He probably needs the captaincy pulled from him. I think we talked about that earlier. I think we talked about the merits for that. And instead, we probably, and then, but I want to talk about back to the Matic point. We're going to be replacing Matic as the priority. That is what Rangnick apparently wants. He wants a midfielder, a CDM, a holding midfielder. But like, hey, we should have replaced Matic already so we can go after center forward or center back. But like, dude, this is what happens when you're slow two windows. You're always making up for the next stopgate hole that develops in the club, right? It's like, oh shit, we got to get another center back. Baye's out again, obviously. Maguire, oh, he's a little soft. Varane, who the hell knows? Dude, it's like we have so many buys to make. We got so many sales to make.
The reason why you got to keep it fresh is because when you buy the CDM, you know you need him,
right?
And then when you come, if you leave it another year, then there's going to be positions that pop up where you thought you were solid. Exactly. Now you're not solid, whether it's big injury. You could come in this year and look at Erwan Bissaka and be like, he's the right back 100%. Then now it's kind of like, well, Dalot isn't good enough. He's kind of struggling. So in theory, depending on who the blank is the manager at the end of the year, you might need a right back now. And you need a CDM. And you need a center back. And oh, by the way, Cavani is going to go. And oh, by the way, Ronaldo might want to leave. And by the way, Martial is out. Oh, by the way, you need another number nine. You probably need two number nines. So, and then it's like, sir, you know when you procrastinate and then everything starts piling on? And that's just life. And this is how it happens when you don't deal with the clear needs of the squad. You're always going to get surprised going forward. Be more issues. I agree on the Maguire point. He needs a drop. But yeah, who are we going to play? He's undroppable.
Baye's out. He's undroppable. He should
buy Lindelof. Honestly,
I think he'd play better if he didn't have the stress of being captain. Dude, give De Gea the captaincy. Let him play. And I think he'd play well. I think he'd play better. He doesn't have to think about it as much. He's that kind of player, dude. He's like a physical player. He's a reactionary player. He shouldn't be a thinking player. He should like, don't give him the captaincy.
So there's two players who've won EPL titles with Manchester United on this team. You got David De Gea and Ronaldo. Those two players.
Phil Jones. Yeah, has won it.
He's not on the team.
He's in the team. He's not going to change.
Those guys should have it. They know how to win a title. At Jared United, quote, sirs, I'm shaking my head and smiling. Going to be optimistic because it's almost a new year. I'd like to take my half full glass and raise a toast to the lads for somehow getting a lead early and holding that lead for the rest of the game. Hashtag MUFC. We appreciate you, Jared. That was a good tweet to end on. 3 points. Into a new year, sir, 2022. You got any New Year's resolutions?
Sorry, I want to
drop 25.
I got to drop 25 pounds. Who don't? I got to work my temper. And I don't know. I want to maybe not care so much about this lovely team that just drives me nuts. But that ain't happening.
Sir, season's pretty much, you know.
Season's a wash.
I'm excited for Champions League round of 16.
Dude, Atletico, let's go.
That's going to be.
I can't wait.
You know, because the league is just, look, take it to the bank. Arsenal are going to bottle it. The question is, can Rangnick manage this? Because you get articles like this early, kind of concerning. We fade again.
It's a lot
more
of
articles.
Yeah.
Sir, it could be like a eighth, you know, like a complete meltdown, blow it up. But then the Glazers are going to be like, what? Huh? Yeah. You know, they're going to win another Super Bowl. They'll be like, what? What's going on in Manchester? I don't know. Look, that's the podcast. What an episode, sir. Hope everyone had a great holiday. Hope everyone has a happy New Year's. We'll be back Monday. We're also going to be recording our end of the year Patreon exclusive episode and dropping that on Monday as well. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Check us out on Patreon. Like I said, you get exclusive episodes every month, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, www.americaRedDevils.com. Click on store. Get the merch, sir. Support us. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give us our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Corinth, Mississippi. How you doing? We got Mag Hull, UK, Houston, Texas, College Station, Texas, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Omaha, Nebraska. Look at this list. Brandon, Mississippi, Brooklyn, New York, Coppell, Texas, and last but not least, Orlando, Florida. Oslo, Norway. We also see on the list, Norway. We appreciate you. Come back. We need you. Used to be in the top 10, top 5 all the time. Ole, he's still a legend, baby. He's still a legend. American Red Devils, we appreciate you every single day of the year, especially at the end of the year. Everyone have a happy and safe new year, 2022, sir. It was a brutal one for Manchester United, but never, hey.
Hey, season ticket holder, sir. Stratford Ed. Never say die. Gonna hold those tickets till the day I die. Give them to my son. We'll see the title again. It might be a decade or two.
27, 30 years, sir. 30 years.
How many episodes of this podcast before we win a title, sir?
I'll tell you, finally won one.
That's when the podcast will end.
Yeah, we retire.
We'll win the title. Up, like, American Devils are hanging it up.
20 years from now.
Just kidding. You know what? A special moment to start this game when you heard that home crowd after all that bullshit in the press, all the pundits saying negative things, everything, all the clouds, and then that kicks off, and you hear that crowd, sir. That is what it's all about. This team ain't no team. Chelsea can't pay people to sing that loud. No team has that type of crowd. Manchester United is a very special team, so we back them no matter what, no matter how bad they are. The darkest days and everything. That's why we're going to be ending the podcast with Stratford End Horizon. Everyone have a great New Year's. Enjoy it.